Glad that you have come here today to gather together to worship and honor God. For our guest, again, we're very honored. Appreciate you being with us. Just noticed Ann over there. Hadn't seen her in a while. Good to see her, as well as each of you. And we trust that, of course, as we've said before, that our most honored guest is the God that we have come to honor and worship. And it's been a pleasure to be able to be together, to sing and encourage each other, to focus our minds together in prayer, and to focus our minds and hearts upon the death of our Savior. When it comes to truth, it has been said that truth is the objective validity of what God has said. And there are certain blessings that come from truth and statements in Scripture that are stated about the blessings of truth and about its nature. For example, the psalmist says in Psalm 33 and verse 4, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. All that he says is so, and all that he does is truthful." Another related passage is in Psalm 119 and verse 15. He says, "You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth." I think the psalmist says in one place that the sum of God's commandment is truth. All that he says, when we put it all together, it is true. W. Vine says concerning truth that he says that truth is conforming to reality, the manifested veritable essence of a matter. Or I guess the way we would put it is the actual state of things are as it is. And sometime we have said we need to tell it like it is. That means that we want you to tell me the truth. I want to hear it. And because of God's provisions, we can read and study and obey His truth. We can learn who we are. We can evaluate what we have done. We can believe in His Lord, in His Christ, and respond to His gospel. And we can live by it. And I would suggest to you that there is no provision better than that. To be able to rejoice in the ability to read and to understand and to practice the will of God. To glorify Him and honor Him by practicing His Word. And even the occasion to rejoice in the fact that God even offers a way of forgiveness when we disappoint Him and when we fail to keep His Word. Today I want to talk about five blessings of truth. First of all, the first blessing of truth is found in the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, and verse 32. A very familiar passage. Where Jesus said in John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." One of the joys and blessings of truth is that it offers freedom from sin. In fact, we would conclude then that the very opposite of that leads to bondage. That when one yields their life to Satan, that when one yields their life to things other than those things found in God's Word, that it would lead to bondage. In fact, Jesus even says that in the context. Because Jesus said in John 8, and beginning with the 34th verse, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Thus, we have a choice to yield to what God wants and to be free, or to yield to the will of the devil and to find ourselves in bondage. Another related passage in the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, Galatians chapter 5, and in verse 1. In Galatians 5 and verse 1, where the Apostle Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." That in Christ there is liberty. In Christ there is freedom from sin. Relief is promised, no matter what sin we have committed. The blood of Jesus can forgive us. Yes, indeed, the blood of Jesus could have even forgiven the sin of Judas if he had yielded and believed in the mercy that God offered. That's God's gift to us. The blessing of truth is that it offers freedom from sin. But truth also offers stability. One of my favorite is Psalms is the 15th Psalm. And in a very wonderful poetic way, in Psalm 15, the psalmist talks about and describes the kind of people that God wants us to be. Actually, when I read through these, I call them character traits. The character traits of God's people. The kind of character that He wants us to have. And then at the very last of the psalm, in verse 5, He makes this observation, "He who does these things shall never be moved." That is, that if you really want to have the unshakable life, that is, if you want to have that unshakable foundation, then the essence is that the psalmist says that you need to have these kind of characteristics. You know, I've told you before that my house is on that old, ugly, black dirt. And every time I try to shovel it, whether it's wet or whether it's hard, it makes me mad because it's tough. But it also does a number on the foundation. And in spite of all the things that I've tried to do to offer stability to that foundation, the soaker hoses and digging the trench around and putting the PVC down, the fact is that that foundation still has cracks. Now, I didn't have that problem when I lived on this side of the Balcones Escarpment. When I lived on that solid limestone, I couldn't grow a yard, but I didn't worry about the foundation. And Jesus makes that illustration, does He not? He says, "Build your house upon the rock rather than upon the sand." And this is the point of the psalmist. He says, "He who does these things can live and have that unshakable life." And it's interesting that in that context, back up in verse 2, He describes and says, the one who has the unshakable foundation is the one who walks with integrity or uprightly, and the one who works righteousness. The idea is that the one who has the unshakable foundation is the one who does the will of God. The one who walks with integrity and the one who is practicing the will of God. There's a favorite author of mine, John Maxwell, that's written a great deal about leadership. And he makes this observation in one book entitled, Developing the Leader Within You. He says, integrity is what binds us together. It creates a contentment that can last no matter what the circumstances. That's basically what the psalmist is saying. That no matter what the circumstances, if I know I'm living in God's Word, then I have that stability. And Jesus makes the same illustration in Matthew, the 7th chapter. In Matthew chapter 7, and beginning with the 24th verse, the very familiar verses and the song that we have sung with regard to these verses, where Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." The blessing of truth is that it offers stability for those who are willing to practice it. The third blessing of truth is it offers favor in the sight of God and man. Over in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, one of those, I think, as I've stated before, memory verses that I think are good for young men and young women. The time of life, you know, 18 and 20, you don't know what you want to do with your life. It's kind of frightening. But the psalmist says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4, he says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." He says, take the truth and bind it around your neck. Wear it as an ornament. And furthermore, write it on the tablet of your heart. Let it be inscribed upon your heart and mind. And here's the result. Here's the blessing. And therefore, you will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. The illustration. You have a mechanic on one street corner, and across the street another. One has the reputation of being honest, and the other the reputation of being dishonest. Who's going to get the most business? You know the answer. The one with integrity, to some degree, not only has favor with God, but also favor with man. In fact, there are a number of illustrations. Look in the book of 1 Samuel, for example. Here we find a very sharp contrast in 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, and beginning with the 22nd verse, in 1 Samuel 2, beginning with verse 22. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And so he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. You're giving me a bad name because of your conduct. All the people are talking about what you are doing." Then he says, "No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them." And in verse 26, "And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men." Then in the book of Luke, the second chapter, the observation that is made by Luke with regard to the child Jesus during his early days, young days. In Luke chapter 2, and beginning with verse 52, Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Another related passage in the book of Titus. In Titus, the second chapter. In Titus chapter 2, and first of all, well, actually verses 1 through 10, I won't read it all. But in verse 1, he says, "But as for you, speak things which are proper for sound doctrine." Then he begins to address various individuals, the older men and the older women, the young women and the young men, various classes of individuals, and the kind of character that they are to have. And he says they need to do this, verse 5, so that the word of God is not blasphemed. And furthermore, in verse 10, they need to develop this kind of character so that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Isn't it wonderful? And a very beautiful thing. When you can observe the wholesome and pure character of a godly man and woman. I mean, sit down at the Dairy Queen and observe people. You find all kinds. And I can probably tell you what kind of person that is in a few short minutes. But there's something very beautiful about those who adorn the doctrine of God, about those who develop these characteristics. And listen to me, young people. Paul doesn't let you off the hook because you're young. You can also be something very beautiful in the sight of others when you're willing to follow the pattern that He has given to us. The blessing of following truth is that it provides favor in the sight of God and men. In the book of Romans, the 14th chapter, one other passage with regard to this point. In Romans chapter 14, the Apostle Paul is telling the brethren at Rome how they are to behave themselves. The problem is that in matters of opinion, they had become rather contentious. And thus the Apostle Paul says in Romans 14, and beginning with verse 16, he says, "Therefore do not let your good be evil, be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men." And approved by men. "Therefore, let us pursue things which make for peace and things by which one may edify another." When you learn to treat how to treat each other, and that would regard not only those who thought it was okay to eat meats, but those who thought it was wrong to eat meats. He said, when you learn how to treat each other, then you become approved even by men. Have you ever been in a church where you were ashamed to invite someone to the assembly? I have. I can think of times when the Bible class, every Bible class, is going to be such a squabble and fight. I didn't want to invite my unbelieving friends because brethren weren't behaving like brethren. They weren't treating each other like they should. The church was always in a turmoil. Now, fortunately, I can say that's not the case here. And I'm thankful for that. But the fact is that when God's people behave as they should, it becomes a blessing. Favor in the sight of God, and also favor in the sight of men. A fourth blessing of truth is growth, spiritual growth. And as I look at my life, I find that there are times that actually spiritual growth kind of comes in spurts. There are times when it seemed like the graph is just going up and I'm just excited. But then there are times when I kind of level off. In fact, there are even occasions when I may decline a little bit. And the risk of that decline is that you fall into that downward spiral in which you completely fall away. Thus, a steadfast commitment to truth helps us to grow. During the down times, I need to remain committed and striving to do what God wants me to do, trying to learn and understand what He wants me to do. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, of course, the theme of 2 Peter is knowledge, knowing God and growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, and beginning with the 5th verse, Peter says, But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. The point is that Peter is saying you need to give diligence to your spiritual growth and growing in these characteristics. But here's the blessing. In verse 8. For if you do these things, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And furthermore, here is the blessing down in verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Being devoted to truth helps me to grow spiritually, not to become stagnant, to become all that God wants me to be. And in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, I am reminded by Paul that my ultimate goal is to grow that I might put on the character of Jesus. In Ephesians 4:15, he says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Paul simply reminds me that, first of all, I have a part in this, and you do too. We all are a part of a body, and the ultimate goal is to help us to grow that we might be more and more like Jesus. And that's a blessing. There's an occasion to rejoice in that. That's the blessing of God's Word. Finally, the blessing of God's Word is light. In John chapter 3, in John chapter 3, in verses 20 and 21, when Jesus with Nicodemus made this observation, he says, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deed should be exposed. The point is, there are certain lawless men who they don't want their lives exposed to the light of God's Word. They want to continue in that. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deed may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. That is, they desire for him, they desire for God's word to shed the light upon their character, either because they know and realize that they need to change, or because they have nothing to be ashamed of. You ever been in a dark room? You know, one of the mistakes that I get when I get up in the night is not turning a light on. Because, lo and behold, somewhere along the line in my path to where I'm going and coming back, I'm going to stub a toe and it's going to hurt. The reality is that there are a lot of people groping in darkness. A lot of people in this world that are trying to find the way and have never found the way. Trying to find the secrets to contentment and happiness and joy, but have never found it. The blessing of God's Word is that God shows us the way. He provides the light and He sheds the light upon our character so that we can improve. And therefore, truth-loving people unashamedly want to follow His Word, and they want His Word to shed the light and to show the way. John says in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. God's people, and the desire of godly people, is to walk in the light and to follow His Word and to follow His truth. And in the book of Romans, the 13th chapter, and in verse 12, Paul says, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the work of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So you know where you're going. Let God's Word lead the way. Trust Him. God's way is always best. Follow Him. Allow His Word to shed the light and to show the way. This is the blessing of following God's Word. And if truth has all of these benefits, then what should I do with it? If I really value freedom, if I really value stability in my life, if I really desire to have favor with God and men, if I really want God to show me the way and to shed the light and to help me to grow into the kind of person that He wants me to be, what should I do with God's Word? The psalmist tells us in Proverbs 23 and 23, he says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The point is you get it right now. And it's not really something you have to buy. It's not simply something that you have to spend money for. God has given us the blessing. Every one of us has the blessing and benefit of having God's Word today in front of us. The point is that you do everything you can to know it and understand it and to follow it so that you can receive the blessing that God wants to offer us. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. In Isaiah, chapter 55, beginning with the 6th verse, Isaiah the prophet, speaking to Israel, says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Return to God, and He is willing to pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. And I think that what Isaiah is saying is, you need to bring your thoughts into harmony with my thoughts and your ways into harmony with my ways. That is, you need to examine your life and bring it in harmony with what I am saying. And in verse 10 he says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing for which I sent it." I want to tell you, when God's word is planted in a good and honest heart, it brings a blessing. And it produces the kind of people that He wants us to be. The question is, are your ways His ways and your thoughts His thoughts? We commonly sing a song of invitation as a time of self-examination. I would suggest to you that every day of our life should be a time of self-examination. Every day of our life, we should be constantly asking the questions of whether or not we are truly pleasing God or not. But maybe there's someone here today who realizes that you have strayed from the path, that you want to come back to God. God is full of mercy and full of pardon and willing to forgive. If we can assist you in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the song selected.